The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to The Shepherd at Work, a weekly program to help you learn how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. Host Mark Goldstein introduces you to individuals who are successfully and effectively engaging in marketplace ministry and gives you the tools you need to do the same. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
Welcome to the last Shepherd at Work for the year. Mark Goldstein in the studio with Mike Gillen and Nathan Weaver. Nathan is the founder, the principal president of Petra Worldwide. And many of you heard him earlier this week with Mike Gillen for an extended show. But when Nathan and Mike, when you and Nathan were doing the show, I said, how wonderful would it be to have Nathan on the end of the year show talking about what to expect in the new year.
I agree.
And specifically, Nathan, by the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're becoming a veteran to this studio. But as we talked, you're an international businessman. You're a national businessman. You work with churches. You work in secular business. You're very immersed in the faith community and in the secular community. So you have your foot in both sides. So I thought, how appropriate would it be for you to just share from your heart what you've seen this year, but more specifically, how that translates to next year? What, as Christians, are we going to see on the horizon? So Nathan, again, welcome to the show. And I'm just going to turn it over to you. Start us off.
Sure. Happy to be back. And thank you for hosting me. Certainly a wonderful opportunity. And, you know, we pray that the Holy Spirit would speak through all of us and continue to give us wisdom and insight. And as we look forward to 2023, I think, you know, certainly always asking for that wisdom, that insight, and to just make sure that we are well connected to the Holy Spirit and listening to his voice, always going to be paramount and most important.
Absolutely.
You know, as we start to really turn the page and close out 2022, from a pastoral perspective, for all the pastors that I engage with on a daily basis, it's important that they really continue to pay attention, continue to be diligent about the communities that they're serving in. You know, the role of the church and the local community has been important, will continue to be important. And as the year turns and we go into 2023, you know, being aware that inflation is still outpacing wages. And what does that mean long term for the congregation? And most of the churches that we serve, most of the churches are smaller churches, 40, 50 members, some larger, some smaller. But for the most part, you know, they are sensitive to the economic conditions because their members, their contributors are sensitive to the economic conditions.
So give us some examples of how that translates into the church for 2020.
Yeah. And so what that means, you know, when you look at it from, you know, a 30,000 foot level and you become aware that inflation continues to outpace wages, you know, that means in the short term, people are resourcing from credit and or savings. And we know both of those are unsustainable.
Okay.
And so as people begin to erode and completely eliminate their savings, they're going to get to a point, or they exhaust their credit. They get to the point where they have to start making some really tough choices.
So for the churches and a lot of these large churches, they have the kiosks where people can give while they're at church. And I'm sure a lot of people aren't using debit cards. They're using credit cards. So as churches, should they come out and say, unless do not use credit cards in there?
I don't know that they want to come out and make such a strong statement and say, don't use the credit card. But I think for the churches that have the data, it's important to take a look at what percentage of their contributions are being you know, are credit based, you know, looking at cash, you know, through the different vehicles, Cash App, Zelle, check, cash in the plate versus debit versus credit. Because if a church is seeing a larger portion of their giving being credit based, they've got to be sensitive to the message that, you know, people are probably getting to a place where they won't be able to sustain their credit card payments because they've exhausted their credit limits, because economically, you know, they've been squeezed. You know, we can see it in the grocery store. We're starting to see some relief at the gas pump. We're starting to see prices finally get under $3, and it's been a long time. Some people say that's going to be short-lived as the war in Ukraine and other global factors continue to play in. But as any church sees a growth or a spike in the number of their members that are paying on credit card, be mindful that a lot of those people are paying on credit card because they just don't have the cash, but they're committed to their faith.
So walk us through the last couple of years. The church has really had a challenge during COVID. Doors were shut. They were doing things online. A lot of pastors were saying that their giving was down because people weren't there to put the money in the offering plate. So as you've been working with churches this last year and parachurch, are the numbers coming back? Are the funds increasing? And again, if they are, what are we looking at for 2023? What trends are we looking at then for attendance and offering?
So what we've seen, and again, I talk to pastors every day, the numbers in terms of attendance are not coming back. People have gotten very comfortable with online worship or other, you know, not in person type worship, and they have just decided to kind of stay there. So we still have a lot of churches that have reopened their doors, you know, but they've got a lot of empty seats, right? You know, from a business perspective, and you know, I talked to my pastor this way. Back in my restaurant industry days, I remember having a boss who took me aside one day, and I was at that point in charge of, you know, an entire region of restaurants. And he came into one of my restaurants and he said, "What's the most expensive thing in this restaurant?" And I'm looking around, I'm naming all of the large fixed assets in the building. And after I named three or four items, he looks at me and he said, "Nope, the most expensive thing in this restaurant is an empty seat."
Mm.
And that is true in the church as well.
Sure.
That, you know, it is, you know, from a financial perspective, certainly the most expensive thing will be that empty seat. So as the numbers of people in person attending, as those numbers don't come back, the church has to be mindful, again, of their budget and the impact that attendance is having on their members. You know, immediately following COVID, during COVID, and then immediately coming out of COVID, you know, I think the needs were a little bit different. You know, immediately post-COVID, I think the role of the church really had to be focused on mental health, because COVID did a real strong number on our mental health. It really rocked the boat for a lot of people. Lots of people went through huge paradigm shifts, not only in just the way they see the world, but the way they see God and God's role in their life, because some people lost entire families to COVID. And if you think you can go through an experience like that and not have your faith shaken, your paradigm shifted, and your confidence weakened, you know, you have to think again, because those are significant mental health challenges that the church faced immediately post-COVID.
So knowing that we had those challenges, the numbers are still down, looking at the future doesn't look like it's going to rebound real quickly. What responsibility does the church have, or what can churches, pastors do to kind of regain the confidence and get people out of their learned behavior of watching on TV and getting them back into church?
Yeah. And I'm going to answer that in one word. And yes, some people will say it translates in business as well, It's value. It's value. At the end of the day, humans are going to put their money where they find value. And certainly there are people that are consistently dedicated to the faith. I'm going to pay my tithes no matter what. That's just what I do. That's what I know. That's what I believe is the right thing. But there are a significant number of people in the church that they are understanding and relating to God based on the value proposition that they see in their experience. And so I think the church really has to be focused on, how do I bring value to my members? Now, that's taking a big step back from, you know, kind of basic theology. I'm not saying at all that, you know, the atoning sacrifice of Christ is not the biggest value we're ever going to get. Yeah. At the end of the day, you know, that salvation, how much more value could you ever get, right? But when people are hurting, when they can't pay their bills, they are going to see value very differently. When they're on the brink of homelessness, they can't put gas in the car, they can't feed their kids, they're going to have a different perception of value beyond the salvation message.
Well said, Nathan. This segment, we've been talking about the church. When we come back from the break, let's talk about business and what you see for business in the upcoming year. Okay. We're with Nathan Weaver, owner of Petro Worldwide, and we will be back in just a minute.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3570.
Hey, this is Mike Gilland, Operations Manager at the Shepherd Radio Network, with a special invitation for you to join me daily, Monday through Friday, for my show, Afternoons with Mike. Our show is aired at 3:05 p.m. and replayed twice, first the same night at 9:05 p.m., then the next morning at 10:05 a.m. It's my privilege to have a wide variety of guests on my show, ranging from senators to pastors, celebrities to singers and businessmen and women. The common thread to each episode is our goal to look at life through the lens of a biblical worldview. You can listen on air to any of the three Shepherd stations in Florida. Plus, you can listen online at our homepage, theshepherdradio.com. Listen on demand to our podcast, available on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. All you have to do is use the search phrase, Afternoons with Mike.
Ladies, do you want the men in your lives to be better husbands, fathers, and providers? Men, do you want all that and more? Christ-led Communities has the answer. With men's Bible studies and group experiences, Christ-led Communities has a curriculum that meets most every man's spiritual needs. Visit clchq.org to learn about your opportunities to grow in Christ in a Christ-led community. The website again is clchq.org or 407-484-3899.
Once again, here's Mark Goldstein.
And we're back with segment two of The Shepherd at Work. We're in the studio. Mike Gillen and I are in the studio with Nathan Weaver, the owner of Petro Worldwide. Nathan has a great finger on the pulse of secular business, national, worldwide. He understands finances. He understands culture. And Nathan, you're the ideal person to have in for a show where we're talking about forecast for 2023, because you have a finger on the pulse. Now, in the last segment, we were talking about churches and what are some of their challenges now? And the word relevancy, you brought up the point during the break that churches need to be relevant.
Absolutely.
So before we talk about the business and all that, how can churches be relevant today?
You know, I think for the churches to be continue to be relevant in this millennium, this generation. The church really has to stay focused on how the church has been relevant for generations. And part of how we can see what relevance looks like is it's just by the walk of Jesus. We can see the meeting the needs of the people. At the end of the day, the church, especially the church in the West, the church in America more specifically than the West, in the first half of this century and the 19th century, the church was the community go-to. That's where the needs were met from the community. You know, government mm-hmm. has certainly stepped in, I think I'd mentioned this before, and provided a lot of the needs of the community, but they do it in a very agnostic way.
Mm-hmm.
The needs are still there. There are still people every single corner that you go on, almost every city in America. I mean, I've traveled all over the country, continue to travel over the country, and I see homeless people everywhere. I see people with mental disorders and diseases everywhere. I see poverty everywhere. There's still a very strong need. And when the church stops stepping into community to meet the needs of the community, that's where the church begins to lose relevance. And we can define need as broadly or as narrowly as any given church, any given community decides to define it. And need can be everything from solving the problem that's relevant for that community, whether that problem be homelessness, whether that problem be racial injustice, whether that problem be, you know, financial, whatever the issues in that community, if the church meets the needs and solves and continues to assist people in having a higher quality of life, the people will see God in that action. And, you know, I was speaking to a group of pastors a couple of weeks ago over in Leesburg. And one of the things that I said to that group of pastors is, if you are still operating your church in a way that you show up on Sunday morning, you open your doors at 11 o'clock, you have service, and you say, hey, I'll see you next Sunday, you are not going to be relevant for very long. And you're going to have that experience where you're going to continue to lose members.
Well, that is very poignant. So Nathan, could we say that it's really a decision whether or not you want to be kingdom of God minded versus kingdom of man? For example, if your church is focused on the kingdom of God and bringing God into the marketplace, into the church, into the community, and being the hands and feet, then that's the ultimate what we want to do. However, there are churches that are focused on the kingdom of man, which are just trying to do activities in the community just to be seen as doing good things. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That like people say churches are irrelevant, but I can't believe that if you're focused on bringing the kingdom of God into the community, the marketplace, how that can have anything other than power.
I would agree that has a significant amount of power. It goes back to the last segment, and I ended that segment using the word value. Irrelevance and value are obviously deeply connected, right? Mm. Because you find something irrelevant when you don't find value in it. Mm. And so where the church should be, will have to be, is in fact delivering on the mission of Christ.
Mm.
Yes, save souls, share the gospel, doing it out there with the people, just like whether you're, you know, a version of being with the woman at the well, you know, that experience, that Bible story did not happen inside of a church, right?
So rather than saying to somebody, you really need to believe in Jesus to keep you from going to hell, would you say you need to believe in Jesus because of the rich reward of the life you have here versus a life without Christ?
That's right. That's right. And, you know, there's a lot of research that really supports what we're saying here. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the founder, one of the co-founders of this whole media movement known as Jesus Gets Us. not sure if you've seen any of those ads mm-hmm. or not, but one of the things they mentioned, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars in these advertisements. And one of the things that they that this guy mentioned was that their research showed that people didn't want anything to do with God. And that sounds shocking and appalling to us at on the surface. Mm-hmm. Their research further showed that what people connect with and they want everything to do with were the ministries of Christ. Mm. The actual acts of service, the acts of kindness, the acts of, you know, getting out in the community and being of service, where people said they don't want anything to do with God. What they're really saying is they don't want anything to do with the what is perceived as the formalities of religion.
Yeah.
And that's their perception of God, where they resonate very differently with the ministry of Christ. And from that data, I say the church really has to continue to be in that spot. And that's how the church adds value. It's, you know, the broken marriages, the broken homes, you know, all of the things that exist in our society, because we're not stepping in to provide the comfort, the peace, and the word of God to speak into people's hearts to resolve some of these issues.
Well said. Thank you, Nathan. So transitioning over to business, what's some wisdom you can give to our business people, business owners, workers, whatever, that are slugging it out day after day? What do you see for them in 2023?
For our business community, some of the same things that we see in the church will hold true in the business community as well. So people that are really driving their businesses every day should really be paying attention to what's happening with inflation. Continue to watch inflation, because inflation is going to be a long-term indicator of where the Fed's going to go, and the Fed's actions are going to have a direct impact on the economy long-term.
Haven't we seen this over and over again in the past decades?
We have. The cycle, you know, it's nothing new, right? So to that point, we should really know how this story is going to end, right? We should really know that we're going to have some level of economic downturn. That is the whole point of raising these interest rates. And by raising these interest rates, we'll have that economic downturn, because this, you know, discretionary spending will continue to shrink. And as people continue to exhaust their leverage, the credit card balances, and their available cash, they will change behavior. Mm-hmm. And really the message of the Fed in its most recent half point rate increase was because the message of changing behaviors has not really resonated with the people.
Sure.
And so they will continue to inflict pain. And when you boil this down to like rudimentary level, what they're doing, they're inflicting pain to modify behavior. And so every time they bump the interest rate, they're saying, let me give you another dose of pain, because you are not behaving in a way that's beneficial long term. And so that's what we're seeing here. And so as business leaders are looking at the landscape of what's going to happen in 2023, be mindful that the Fed is not finished administering pain, which means that behaviors of the economy are not as desirable as they should be.
So you have about 30 seconds to answer this question. What do you see, other than Christ coming, what do you see on the horizon that gives hope for not only business, but secular, spiritual, whatever? What do you see on the horizon that gives hope?
So one of the things that I think is really important is what you just mentioned. We've seen this process before. We know that the economy is cyclical. We're going to have a bit of a downturn. Hunker down, preserve your cash, manage your leverage, and survive the downturn. And in that downturn, invest while you're in the bottom of the economic cycle. That's when you should be doing your investing. That's when you should be picking up real estate and other assets. So manage your cash so that you're positioned to invest while we're in the bottom of this economic downturn.
Very wise words. We've been visiting today with Nathan Weaver, the owner, founder of Petra Worldwide. Give us your website real quick.
Our website is petraworldwide.org.
petraworldwide.org. For Mike Gillen, this is Mark Goldstein and Nathan Weaver. Have a blessed rest of 2022 and be safe going into 2023. God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Shepherd at Work. Tune in next week as Mark will introduce you to another marketplace leader who will show you how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. The Shepherd at Work, sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.